It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
For 12-Pack Radio. Get excited, y'all.
The move that makes the most sense, the move that makes the most money per school for the Big Ten is only grabbing USC and UCLA. No, I mean, it's true.
No, I know.
What? Anyone else you bring in will bring in less than USC and UCLA.
Do you hear that? Do you hear that? That is Mr. Call His Shot, Rob Barron. August 1st, 2021, the year of our Lord, almost a year ago in our Winter is Coming realignment podcast. Thank you for joining us at 12-Pack Radio, your podcast source for Pac-12 football news, the home of the Beta Rank College Football Statistical Model. And I'm joined by Rob Barron to come back a year later, Rob, when the earthquake of Oklahoma and Texas, it feels like 20 years ago, happened. Big landscape change led to the fleeing of Lincoln Riley from the Big 12 to the Pac-12 to avoid the SEC. Now we have USC and UCLA headed for the Big 10, just like you called it. You see in the Matrix. Clairvoyant Rob, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Dish, I'm bad. I mean, this is a bummer for the whole conference. I mean, on the brights, I mean, I live in Columbus, Ohio. I mean, I guess I'll get to see USC and UCLA come through every once in a while. But it's a bummer. I mean, like the Pac-10, Pac-12, as we've known it, is moving on, you know?
Cue the Anchorman gif, you know, that escalated quickly. It is Thursday, June 30th. News started to come out onto Twitter from John Wilner, who had talked about the possibility of USC and UCLA in talks with the Big Ten about possibly moving to their conference. Full-blown statements from both schools about 4 hours later that they have officially joined the Big Ten in 2024. And this show, we really want to go through the landscape and what's going to happen, because it's going to be crazy. I'm totally with you, Rob. It's a bummer. We've talked about this on the show about USC really being the prime real estate for the Pac-12, and the Pac-12, frankly, not doing a whole lot to keep them around and make them happy. You have Larry Scott, years of it's Larry Scott, but it's also a lot of incompetence from USC, you know, with the Clay Helton hire. You have UCLA, you know, we'll talk about why UCLA went to the Big Ten, but just frankly, in my end, doesn't look like a serious football school. I know they have Chip Kelly, but they weren't raising the money. It might be one of the reasons why they went to the Big Ten, where they just can still be lazy at fundraising and just get that big bag of cash from the network.
Right.
You have just a landscape where the Pac-12 was clearly behind most of these conferences, and it didn't look like there was going to be enough ground to make up. And clearly whatever the new commissioner was able to put together wasn't strong enough for USC. You had talked about USC moving to the Big Ten and that being a logical conclusion to this, in addition to Notre Dame, which, by the way, will likely happen. But do you want to be, for people that didn't listen to that podcast, which you should, it's in our feed. It's called Winter is Coming. And it goes through like the dominoes that could fall from Texas and Oklahoma jumping into the SEC. But what jumped out for you when it came to USC making that move as one of the pieces they could use on the chessboard?
Yeah, I mean, so like, and we talked about this in that podcast. And I encourage everyone to to think about this not in terms necessarily of the schools themselves or the conferences themselves, even though they're involved, is to think about this as the networks, right? So ESPN, you know, basically was not going to have room on, you know, with the amount of college football they had just purchased, owning, you know, the ACC outright, and then owning all of the SEC as well. They weren't going to have room to also still continue to own part of the Big 12. And so ESPN basically moved Texas and Oklahoma over into the SEC, sort of raiding that property. The question was, you know, and going back to last summer, I mean, the question was sort of like, what would Fox do to respond? Right now, Fox is the major business partner of the Big Ten. They are now, they used to be only a 50% owner. Now they're, I think, a 61% owner of the Big Ten network. And they are going to be the major rights holder, you know, the lead rights holder, although the Big Ten will have a diversity. I mean, like, they will continue to have like a diversity of networks, you know, owning some of their rights. But the question was, is like, would Fox want, I mean, because like Fox too, I mean, this is the part that like why people are, when they say like, oh, the, you know, the ACC is doomed, I'm like, it's like a little bit of a maybe, because like ESPN still has to be able to show some content, right? Like on, you know, like ESPN2, for example, or that kind of thing. Like Fox still has FS1 that they have to fill programming on, right? And would the Pac-12 sort of fill some of that for them, you know, instead of a Big 12 that no longer has Texas and Oklahoma? And the answer is no. I mean, Fox went ahead and pulled the trigger on getting, you know, USC and UCLA. And look, I mean, like, I think one of the important, you know, points here, right, like for the Pac-12 is the Pac-12 is a little bit unique, you know, like versus some of the other conferences. And maybe you could make the argument actually like they were a lot like the Big 12 and that they are real top heavy, you know, like it is, you know, the attractiveness of UCLA and USC and that enormous Southern California market, you know, is just different than where any of the other schools in the conference sit by a big margin. And so, like, you know, in some sense, they're like, you could argue the Big 12 was, you know, like, but the Pac-12 is also a little bit different. And like, there's not like, like UCLA isn't like a true second fiddle, right? Like, there's not really a Michigan in the Pac-12, you know, or a Penn State, or even a Michigan. I mean, like, Michigan State spends an enormous amount on sports. There's not really, you know, schools like that in the Pac-12.
Well, hold on. Because I hear Oregon fans yelling right now at their screens.
No, it doesn't matter. They can yell all they want. It doesn't matter. No, I mean, like, let's be real. Like, you know, like, Oregon has a fan base that is the size of a middling Big Ten school. It's true, right? And if Oregon didn't, they would have been invited today and that would have been announced. You don't do mergers and acquisitions work and only run the numbers on you. Like, it's not like Fox and the Big Ten have only run the numbers on USC and UCLA and everybody else, like, knocking at their door today. They haven't already evaluated. They already have. You know, like, the only other school out there that really is going to move the numbers is Notre Dame. That's it. And like the Big Ten, if they had their druthers, probably today would be taking in Notre Dame and USC. And the Pac-12 maybe is in a better shot space then, because like you still have UCLA included, right? But the Big Ten needed to be able to put more pressure on Notre Dame. And I think Notre Dame, I think you're right. I think Notre Dame eventually does join the Big Ten. But they needed to be able to put the pressure on Notre Dame to do it. And the way to do it was grabbing USC and UCLA.
So I think we all realize why USC is going to the Big Ten, right? The Pac-12 right. network just could not compete from a dollars and cents aspect. You don't have serious football programs outside of a couple. I mean, I think Oregon's a serious football program. USC, by the way, wasn't until like an hour ago, a year ago when they brought, however long it's been since Lincoln Riley made the jump. Almost every other program in the Pac-12, like just is not seriously committing to football. I mean, you're starting to see some bubble up, like Utah obviously is committing, but like they don't have the resources to compete with like a Michigan.
Right.
So rather than having to sit in that conference with the expansion of the playoff, it just makes a lot of sense for USC with the anticipated expansion of the playoff, I should mention. It makes sense for USC to leave the Pac-12, grab that $80 million bag of money, and be in a conference where you're gonna take care of business. You're at the upper echelon. As this sport continues to evolve, you are in one of the two conferences that matter right now. My question is about UCLA. I think I know the answer because I don't think UCLA is a huge draw. Now, the Southern California market, I get that. But, like, markets are becoming less and less important as people continue to move away from their cable packages. But that it still matters. So I get that.
Right.
I think my look, because UCLA has not fundraised at a level that shows that it's serious about building a football program. It seems to have rested on its laurels. It got Chip Kelly on he's still getting bought out by probably the Philadelphia Eagles still. So that contract was pretty reasonable. They made the decision to extend that contract. If I'm UCLA and I get the invite, I take it immediately because now I don't have to worry about fundraising.
Like they had that huge problem where like Under Armour promised them all that money to like help make up for what they were doing in athletics, and that deal tanked, right? And they ended up signing with Nike for less money. Yeah, I mean, like UCLA. Like, I mean, here's part of why you like and people. I mean, a lot of like Oregon and Washington fans thought I was crazy when I said like UCLA is more attractive than Oregon or Washington as a partner for USC. Part of it is like, man, they're just in Southern California. Like there's just like, regardless if they're not a huge draw on their own, like they're in the largest market in the country. Really. When you look at like all of the surrounding area that makes up Southern California, it's unbelievable. But the other part is like, now if you're a Big Ten school, you're getting a trip out to LA a lot more often. Like you're getting out there, you know, to be able to go out to recruit. Big Ten schools have a lot of alumni in LA too, you know? I don't think like, I mean, UCLA as a potential partner and a potential travel partner and getting to go play in the Rose Bowl, as opposed to going to Seattle or going to, you know, like Eugene.
Flying into Portland. Yeah, driving.
Right. Like, it's just a different story, right? Like, that is a much, like, part of it is too, is like USC gets to, I mean, this is USC's show. They got to pick who they wanted to bring with them, you know? But like, I mean, Fox isn't crazy. Like, they would much rather, if you're Fox, you would much rather have Ohio State, you know, like at UCLA. Right. With the hope that UCLA sort of eventually gets it together a little bit. But even if UCLA's bad, like, here's the thing, like, because everybody, like, when they compare these numbers, this is really important. Everybody compares numbers of like when Oregon's been good. Right. They're like, oh, recently Oregon's done so much better numbers than UCLA or USC. And I'm like, yeah, Oregon's been a winning team and those teams sucked. Right. But like Oregon does terrible numbers when they're bad. Right. Like if you're Fox, you're not taking teams based on what they're doing on national numbers when they have like a really got, when they have a winning record. Like, you want to know what they're also going to do when they don't have a winning record, right? Like, because people are going to tune in to watch teams with winning records. Like, are people going to tune in to watch Ohio State play UCLA? Yeah. You bet. Even if UCLA sucks,
yeah,
they're going to tune in, right? Are they going to tune in to watch Michigan UCLA at the Rose Bowl? Absolutely. Like, and Fox can, like, that is a more attract, like, that is simply, like, even though I would argue, like, there is some duplication, right? Like, if you're Fox, though, even with that duplication of, like, you're getting the Southern California market basically covered twice, like, it's still worth it because the market itself is so big and so lucrative. Having your top Big Ten teams cycling through there more often is a much more attractive proposition.
It also checks the box. One of the things that, you know, again, I'm a big fan of the Cover 3 podcast. You know, Bud Elliott talks about the teams that you just take the paycheck and get the L's, right? Like his big thing was with West Virginia, right? Was West Virginia's move worth it. I forget where they went from. Was it like the Big 12 to the ACC?
They went from the Big East to the Big 12.
Yeah. Basically the question was it worth it? You know, is West Virginia in a better place from a like competitive standpoint? And I would answer, I think the answer is no, but they got the money and now they're taking the L's. And you kind of get a twofer for UCLA, right? You have a brand name because of the basketball program, right? Like, so it's still a national brand. You get the market and you get a team that's going to take the L's. Like, I don't think UCLA is going to be with $80 million or whatever it is they're going to make a year. Like, that is now we're talking like serious money. It could be a serious program. But like the administration has not been serious about this for a long time. So I think for the first couple of years, you're going to see UCLA, you know, lose to Iowa 4 years in a row. And you know, I made a joke on Twitter that that's like, you know, it's a real life hell on earth is watching UCLA lose to Iowa 4 years in a row. It's kind of a disaster. But over time, the idea would be like, then you have the possibility of a quality football program. And oh, by the way, as like a cherry on top, a quality basketball team now with millions and millions of dollars to build their program.
Well, I mean, look, you take the L's, right? Like, because you get a seat at the table and you're guaranteed to still continue to be at like the big boy football table, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as it has continued to shrink, like continuing to have a space at that table is absolutely worth it, right? Like heck, like USC's going to take some L's, right? Like, now it's good for the Big Ten.
Yeah, spoiler alert, USC took a lot of L's in the Pac-12.
I know. But like the Big Ten definitely, like, Ryan Day has in Ohio State have built an absolute juggernaut, and like nobody else in the Big Ten is really, I mean, like, last season appeared to be close because they had a completely unqualified person, a defensive coordinator. But like, they are, Ohio State for the most part is out recruiting everyone in the Big Ten by a lot. And if he has the right coaches in place, which it looks like he does now, like, looks like there's going to be significant space between him. Adding USC, which now looks like they're going to be serious under Lincoln Riley, is a huge win, right? Because like, I'm not sure in the short run, Michigan under Harbaugh or Penn State under Franklin are going to get there, right? And like, the rest of the Big Ten, I mean, look, the rest of the Big Ten is going to get huge checks. And they're going to spend more on staffs and all of that. But like, for the most part, like, the rest of the schools, like, they, like, and don't kid yourself, I mean, this is true too, is like, at every level, the Big Ten has bigger, better fan bases than their comparable Pac-12 schools, right? Like, Michigan and Penn State have much, much bigger fan bases than your number two or three Pac-12 schools, right? Like, so like, even Minnesota, like, we may crack a joke about them, they have a sizable fan base. Like, the Big Ten Network does big money, not just because Ohio State is a monster, but because beneath that, you have a bunch of other passionate fan bases that really care. You know, but like, it's going to be crazy to see. Cause like, yeah, like, USC and UCLA are going to take these checks, but like, I mean, their schedule is going to be, it's going to take some adjusting, I guess. Like, we'll get used to it eventually, but like, USC with the schedule full of, you know, Purdue and Northwestern. And I mean, it's just, it's going to be something to see. Like, I mean, when you get to see USC go travel to play Rutgers, right? Like, okay. Like, that's a conference game now.
So,
or USC at Minnesota, like, for a late November conference game at their outdoor stadium in the Twin Cities.
It's going to be weird. I mean, I want to talk about the ramifications for the rest of the conference, but and we'll do that after the commercial break. But one of the things that I had a question for you before we go to break, Rob, is all of the other, like, softball, baseball, like, you know, it's just such a drop in the bucket compared to football. I get that, right?
Right.
My question for you would be, though, because it doesn't look like this is the case, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to have a baseball program traveling to Rutgers or a softball program, you know, going to Penn State that, like, I mean, I know they're going to have bags of money to fly charter, but it almost seems like, I'm wondering how that sorts out. Do you have like a quick prognostication on that?
Yeah, I do know. So like, I actually know what's already happening. Like, they've announced it. So in all the sports that the Big Ten sponsors, they're joining. And so like, it is only, I don't think the Big Ten sponsors men's volleyball, although some Big Ten teams or schools do play it. And then I don't think the Pac-12 did either. And then beach volleyball is not sponsored. So like, I mean, just a handful of like sports here or there are not, but like everything else.
Wow.
I mean, look, like if you're a USC baseball fan, like this might be your chance to hit reset, because like for the most part, the Big Ten is not the world's best baseball conference. And USC and UCLA should absolutely roll in baseball. And softball too, to an extent. Because those have traditionally been Sun Belt sports that the Pac-12 has done really well at.
Yeah.
You know, like the Big Ten is not a great baseball conference for the most, but yeah. So like they, like at basketball will be interesting, right? Like, I mean, the Big Ten itself has not been a juggernaut in basketball.
I would push back on that. I think the Big Ten has been one of like
good,
probably the second strongest conference behind the Big 12. I would say it's been a good conference.
But they, I mean, like, what they're missing for the most part is like they really haven't had like a ton of Final Four appearances and national titles to show for pretty solid conference play, right?
Yeah, there's been a lot of upsets in the tournament, right? Like Ohio State kind of choked on us. I have to go back and look at the Final Fours. But yeah, I mean, like the last couple of years of Big Ten football or basketball have been like, wow, this conference is really good. And then you're like, oh yeah, it's Wisconsin basketball. I forgot about that.
You know, like, yeah, I know. I mean, like, it's true. Like, I mean, that was constant. I mean, but the, like, gosh, that was like the Sean Miller era.
Yeah. Yeah. They were good a while ago, but yeah. Well, hey, let's get into the like kind of the domino effect here and see where this leaves other Pac-12 teams. We have a bunch of listener questions, and I have some questions too. Let's get to those right after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, we're back. We talked about why UCLA, why USC would go to the Big Ten. By the way, if you have questions, you want us to do follow-up questions on the next show, send it to us at 12-Pack Radio, at 12-Pack Radio on Twitter. You can also email them to 12packradio@gmail.com. Happy to answer those, because some of this stuff gets into the weeds. But I think more people are, and I, if frankly, when you take a look at the listener base for our show, Rob, it's like Washington, Utah, Oregon. We don't have a lot of USC listeners. We don't have a lot of UCLA listeners. So I'd like,
I think they all listen to that other podcast that is like mostly devoted to those two.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. The podcast champions. I got you. I'm just surprised, right? Cause I listen to multiple shows and like, we just don't, that fan base, like it has never been super interactive. And like, you know, frankly, they haven't even been feisty. You know, like every once in a while, I'll drop a tweet about like some pithy comment, and like 18 Colorado fans will like send me middle finger gifts, which is fine. I appreciate it. But I'll do something about USC and it's just like crickets. So I just find that fascinating. My theory is the USC fan base is very insular, which makes sense, right? Because they have David Woods and Ryan Abraham over there.
And they did like the Reign of Troy. I mean, like, I think they listen to a lot of like USC really specific stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. But I think the majority of the people listening to this show are interested in what happens to some of the top tier, the second tier programs, I would argue Oregon's a top tier program in the Pac-12. They have been, like, from a performance standpoint in the last couple of years. Yeah. So let's tackle that first, because I we've had a couple friends say that it's possible that Oregon and also there have been reports that other Pac-12 teams have been connecting with the Big Ten. Obviously, you would assume they would. I'm assuming Oregon is one of those programs. I'm just assuming that the Big Ten's going to get Notre Dame. I think I think that the ACC is like Fredo on a boat right now, where they're just like, you know, oh, la la la. Like, I think they lose Notre Dame. They'll figure out a way to make that work. It's possible that you have Florida State, you have like Clemson. I mean, I just think that I think that conference is in a bad way, just kind of like this conference is right now. So do you think the Big Ten is done, or do you think they take on a few more teams?
Well, I mean, look, like, I just want to be clear here, right? Like, if the Big Ten and Fox had wanted to take on any more Pac-12 teams today on their own, they would have done it, right? Like, if no one else gets added to the Big Ten outside of Notre Dame, there are no other Pac-12 teams joining. Right. Like, this is not a, oh, they didn't have our number and now they're going to give us a call. Like, we reached out to make sure they had our information, you know, like Fox, they've already done the evals on you. Right. Like, they know how much you bring to the table. And like the important thing is here is like, you have to bring in more revenue per school for the Big Ten than they would make without you. And so you can't subtract. And there's nobody currently in the Pac-12 that's going to do that. Like, there's just nobody with that kind of heft that can do that. The team that is out there that can, that you mentioned, is Notre Dame, right? Like, and I talked about, right? Like, the ideal situation for the Big Ten is not adding, you know, UCLA at all. It would have been adding USC and Notre Dame together. You know, like, that's a huge moneymaker for them, and Fox by extension, or maybe not by extension, a huge moneymaker for Fox and by extension the Big Ten. But so Notre Dame now finds themselves the interesting thing that was tweeted out today, and it always amazes me how and when some of this stuff comes out, is somebody's like, oh, by the way, I actually read the deal with the ACC, and the deal with the ACC is actually like, Notre Dame is not a grant of rights for football. Notre Dame has a grant of rights for the other sports that are in the ACC. And the only one that really makes money is like basketball, right?
Yeah, but barely. I mean, like, there is not a rabid Notre Dame basketball following.
Right. So, like, I mean, like, it makes some money, but like, Notre Dame would be more than fine. Like, whatever, like, fine. You can, whatever we make off Notre Dame basketball, you can have. We'll pay that out. And Notre Dame football can go to the Big Ten. Because look, like, Notre Dame now find, like, The white whale of the Big Ten, you know, that they've been chasing for years is Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And they, you know, Notre Dame is the one school out there that can really move the needle and bring in more money per school, right? And so then if that's like, a Notre Dame like is now in a spot where they are, look, they were fine. Like, Notre Dame has consistently said they're willing to take less money to continue to have independence, but less money is like suddenly becoming, you know, like Scrooge McDuck amount less. Like, I mean, just an enormous amount of money less than SEC schools and Big Ten schools are going to be making. And then they go out and get who is arguably Notre Dame's biggest rival, right? Like, the consistent rivalry game that the Irish have played, you know, like, they have sort of an on again, off again with Michigan, you know, like they play Navy, you know, but like their big sort of, you know, rivalry game is that game against USC, like going back forever, right? Mm-hmm. And now USC's in the Big Ten. And along with some other teams that Notre Dame used to play pretty regularly, as like Purdue was a rivalry game for a while, you know, because they're both in Indiana, that kind of thing. You know, so Notre Dame, like Notre Dame now finds themselves in a situation where, like, I think the money is really different, right?
Yeah.
And the pressure for them to join is going to be immense. Now, here's where it gets weird and wild and interesting, right? Like, so I don't think that if you're the Big Ten, you're like, oh, that's exciting. Like, let's get Notre Dame and then... You know, and maybe it is like maybe the Big Ten goes to 20, right? Like, and maybe the Big Ten going to 20 is like they then take Notre Dame plus an additional three Pac-12 schools, because like the ACC, like whereas Fox is the partner for the Big Ten, like the ACC really is wrapped up in ESPN, and unless ESPN is like ESPN holds the key to unlocking that, right? ESPN, if they choose, can basically pay out the contract, whatever they owe the rest of the ACC schools, and like move the ones they want over to the SEC if they want. That would certainly leave the Big Ten like with, you know, like with some less than appealing choices. And maybe, you know, their option then is like, all right, well, you know, if we want to go to 20, we'll take Oregon and Washington and then one more Pac-12 school. I mean, that could happen. But it could also be like the option that makes the most money, and this is important, the most money for the Big Ten is taking Notre Dame plus one other Pac-12 school, right? Because I don't think Fox is going to get a crack at one of the ACC schools. Like they're not going to get first crack at one of those schools. So, you know, like if they can get Notre Dame, like, and the other part is like the Big Ten can't wait forever, right? Like the Pac-12 might find themselves in another grant of rights situation. I mean, like some of these other conferences are going to sign at least 5 or 6 year deals. The Pac-12's deal for whatever it's going to be left with or whatever it is after this is going to get done, you know? You know, same with the Big 12 is coming up and will come up for, you know, what's left of the Big 12 will come up and they will renegotiate, you know. And so like that will lead to another period of relative peace in realignment, you know, at least until the deals are up and the grant of rights are up. So like if Notre Dame is going to make a move, it's got to be within the next year or two. But that's when you could potentially see like, the weird thing is, and like, I can't believe I'm saying this, cause they're far and away the least engaged fan base in the Pac-12. And that's saying something. It's Stanford. And I say this for a couple reasons. One, the rivalry with USC, they have an existing rivalry with Notre Dame, and their academic reputation is something the Big 12 would actually care, or the Big 10 would actually care about. Right. And they would be willing to take on Stanford as like a pretty bauble that makes Notre Dame and USC happy and then just cash the Notre Dame check, right? Because that like it's almost an odder pairing if you're like it's like Notre Dame and Oregon or Notre Dame and Washington, right? I guess like for some reason, and that I may be wrong on that one. Like, I mean, like Oregon fans, like, just purely based on the market size, you know, like Washington is probably the more attractive play for like the Big Ten.
But it absolutely is. Like Seattle, yeah. Like Seattle spans half of the West Coast, like of Washington. Whereas like, I mean, I get it, right? Portland's a big state, but they're not yeah. You want the Seattle market if that stuff matters. Now Oregon is by far more serious about their football program. They're investing in their football program. Absolutely. They have the history of the football program, but like if you're just talking numbers, I think Washington's the pick.
Well, but Oregon stuff is like, I mean, Oregon has all of this, but like they're like Oklahoma State. Like that money isn't coming from like revenue that they're producing off of their fan base. That money is coming from Phil Knight, right?
Yeah, well,
like that is not that's not like, or like that is not a sign like that you have a strong organic fan base that you are working off. You are working off of like one guy. Like it's the same problem, like the T. Boone Pickens problem, right? Like Oklahoma State could punch above its weight with T. Boone Pickens there, but like, you know, it doesn't suddenly transform them into like, you know, those fans are not there still, right? Like that's what. So like that could still happen though. Like, I mean, the Big Ten could decide to go to 20. I think the logical spot for them, if they went that big, would be three Pac-12 schools plus Notre Dame. But like, here's the thing, and this is true, like, if it ain't Notre Dame, no one's going. Like, you gotta hope for Notre Dame.
I think Notre Dame goes. Like, yeah, I just do too. I don't see a world where they're just like, yeah, we'll be independent, or they're just gonna fall so far behind. Plus the fact that they brought in their new coach. Like, look, you know, the administration is the most important thing, right? They're making the decisions, yeah. But I just think that new wave of leadership. You have a new coach. Like, I think some of the tradition and like the stuffiness of. We've always been independent. I think having a football coach that's like, you know what, we need to win. I don't care. Like, we need to win. I think that happens. So like,
Well, here's one though. Like, this wouldn't be the first time. Like, what if Fox and ESPN came to an agreement, and Fox got North Carolina, right? Like, they'd probably take North Carolina over Washington or Oregon to pair with Notre Dame. You know, like, I mean, and ESPN takes FSU and, you know, Clemson and Miami and Virginia Tech.
Schools that are
more culturally attuned to where the SEC is.
That makes way more sense. Like, doing that, if that actually happened and they actually came to that agreement, that makes way more sense than taking Stanford as like, you know, picking your kid brother in the dodgeball tournament, you know, like, that doesn't make a lot of sense other than like making, I get it, right? Cash the check from Notre Dame. If that's their demand, all right, we'll come, but you have to bring this stupid program to take the L's.
Right.
You do that. You absolutely do that. But if it's Notre Dame but I would much rather shove Notre Dame into a corner and say like, we're coming, and like, you could float around if you want, and it doesn't make sense for Notre Dame to be in the SEC. I think that's where they draw the line, right? Like,
no, Notre Dame and some, but also like some of like, I mean, the ACC is a little split, right? Like, you have schools like, you know, the Dukes and NC States and UNCs of the world and Virginia's, you know, which are AAU institutions, you know, and very much care about academics. And then you have the Clemsons of the, you know, like, this is going to sound harsh, like the Clemsons of the world. I mean, that are just don't, right? Like, at the same level. And you know, are not like, and are going to, and, you know, are going to fit in much better in the SEC. And I think that's it. Like, I mean, that's like that, like, and I think people underestimate that Fox and ESPN are willing to carve up college football. That deal years ago where Texas and Oklahoma and Texas Tech were going to come to, and Oklahoma State were going to come to the Pac-12. That was like all predicated, like, NBC was the driver on that one. And they wanted to add to what they were showing with Notre Dame, and Fox and ESPN got wind of it and scuttled it. You know, like, I mean, that would have totally, like, we would be in a totally different place in college football had that happened.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
But, you know, like, that came from, like, they're willing to, even as they are competitors, like, they're quite aware of, like, where the lay of the land is. And they're not going to want to let anyone else really get their foot in the door on things. And so, like, I do wonder, like, because ESPN has the ACC locked down. But I wonder if they are willing to sort of want to move some teams around, if they're willing to let Fox have one or the other, you know, like, because ESPN knows they're not going to get Notre Dame. Like, now if Fox were willing, now here's where it'd be interesting, right? Like, let's say Fox brings in Notre Dame and everything into the Big Ten. If Fox, because they also own baseball and often show late, you know, playoff games on Saturdays, or like a Yankee Red Sox games on Saturday afternoons too, was willing to let ESPN continue to be, and, you know, a second tier owner of Big Ten rights, you know, like once those schools are in, like ESPN might say, sure. Like this sounds like this sounds like completely bonkers, but like this is how this actually this is like why I encourage people, like it is not the like stop talking about the conferences, it's the networks.
So I think the thing that makes me like my pushback would be why, like, wouldn't Washington or Oregon be a better program than North Carolina or some of those like second tier? I get the like right the Florida State, Miami, those are going to be SEC schools. So like you kind of got to move up to like, you know, what's the next tier? NC State, North Carolina, Pitt, those kind of programs. Like I just think that Oregon and Washington are more valuable products than those schools.
Miami's an AAU school. Like they really took their football money and really tried to like advance academically.
Yeah, but like this, but does the Big Ten? I mean, how much does
the Big Ten? The Big Ten wants nothing to do. Like they're not going down to the Miami market. But like UNC, as much as like UNC is an enormous national brand in basketball, to the point where like they actually like make real money on it, and that's like I think UNC is attractive because it gives the Big Ten, you know, a continued foothold on the East Coast. North Carolina itself is continuing to grow and I think is an interesting market. I think they'd be interested in having a little bit of a foothold in the South and also like to kind of match with Maryland what they have. I think that's there's plenty of schools that are not like, I don't think Pitt is all that attractive to the Big Ten. They've already got that. They've already got Western Pennsylvania locked up with Penn State, right?
Yeah.
Like I don't think Boston College, Syracuse, like none of those schools are terribly attractive to the Big Ten. It is like for the Big Ten, it's like UNC. I don't think they'd be all that interested in Virginia because I think they would feel like they already had that pretty well covered with Maryland. Yeah, I mean, but like you could, like they could get in there, like if you put in UNC there, maybe batch it up like with Duke. Like Duke's an AAU school. They're a terrific research institution. You know, but it would be more like that with the like if the big like the, I think the Fox would rather make that deal, you know, because like those are markets that are going to continue to grow and be interested in college football too. Like that's what I sort of worry about, like with this in the longer run, right? Is like you could end up with like if you were there's no way like if the like the NFL, right? Like the NFL would not give up on Phoenix, right? like they wouldn't give up on a market that size. You know, the NFL wouldn't give up on Seattle, or wouldn't give up on Denver, right? College football absolutely will in this setup because there's no commissioner and there's no businessmen at the head of these teams who are also thinking about the long-term play and value of their franchises and the TV money they're going to bring in, right? Like everybody in college football is very much disorganized and in it in the short run and is totally at the behest of the networks. Whereas like it is the opposite for the NFL and for a lot of the other sports leagues is they are able to dictate more, you know, to the networks.
So, what does this mean for the, like, we talked about Washington and Oregon as possibly being schools that, you know, if the Big Ten really wants to expand more, those are, you know, they're on the table. Maybe Stanford, if USC and Notre Dame want like a plaything to bring into the Big Ten, but the rest of the schools, right? Like Cal, I mean, who are the bigger names now? You have Arizona State would probably be the next in line. I mean, Utah has the passionate fan base, but it doesn't have the size.
Your next most attractive schools, like if you're going to rank them, are Washington, Oregon, and then the Arizona schools, right?
I'm with you on ASU. I need to be convinced on Arizona, right? Like Tucson.
Here's the difference is like, I mean, Arizona is in Tucson, unlike Colorado, which is in Boulder or, you know, like, I mean, Utah is in Salt Lake, but it's like Tucson is like Arizona is a bigger brand. It is like, and like what Arizona doesn't do is it invests a lot in its other Olympic sports and things like that. It invests less in football. But it has a fairly sizable athletic department. And it is only like, not only is it in a, you know, like the Tucson DMA.
It's like, it's more than a million people.
Right. It's more than a million people. And then you're also like less than an hour. Like you're like an hour. What is it? An hour and a half from Phoenix. Like you're really close. Like Arizona does really good numbers in Phoenix too. Like, I'm not saying like, but those schools are the ones, like those schools are probably your next ones. And then it's maybe Utah or Colorado, you know, and then like, but they're not like, but like, it's not like a big gap, right? Like you can make an argument that it's Utah at four instead of Arizona or something like that. Like it's not, right? It's not enormous. Like the Pac-12 schools, but this is also true. Like the gap between like the Pac-12 schools altogether that are left are much more tightly bunched than a lot of them think. With the exception of
Oregon State, Washington State.
Right, like Oregon State, Cal. Washington State, and Cal and Stanford are like a gap away. And Cal and Stanford are buoyed a little bit by their market that they're in. But like, it's pretty close otherwise. You know, like there's not an immense, you know, like there's not an immense amount of space between some of the rest of them. Now, Colorado, I think, has fallen off a little bit on their overall spending and I think commitment to athletics. You know, but like, I don't think that like, if you were going to go through and like the top five is still pretty good and you'd probably still take Colorado because of the Denver market, you know?
So what do you see, right? So you have your two super conferences right now. You have your SEC and your Big Ten. Let's in this scenario, Big Ten has already brought in Notre Dame and possibly like, and let's just take Washington, Oregon, and like a couple of the likely top tier schools from the ACC off the table. Then what?
So then your best bet at this point, right, is like nobody from the current Big 12 is getting picked, right? Let's say that. I mean, like, I like, color me still skeptical, and I am like that Washington and Oregon end up in the Big 10. Like I would put it 60-40 no, right? I think your best bet, whether they're there or not, is to split. And like, and this is really tough for the bottom of the Big 12 and the bottom of the Pac 12, but you got to split it off and you got to take the best of what you can get. Right.
So you're talking like ACC, Big 12, Pac 12.
Yeah. I mean, like, cause like, here's a funny one. Like you could easily see Miami not ending up in a super conference, right? Like, I know that sounds weird, they're a small private school in a market that doesn't always care very much about them at all, you know? Huh. I mean, you like, it's weird to say that, like, but you know, like you could easily see them more like, to your point, like more likely in the SEC than not. But, you know, like I think that the best bet, I mean, look, if there's anything good, like if NC State didn't get picked up by the Big Ten, you'd absolutely take them, right? And like try to form a conference, but like that's far away. Like I think the immediate one, because there's no guarantee the ACC gets, like, because ESPN holds the keys. If they decide to keep that together, then, you know, like then the answer is, you know, like you go and you say, all right, like what's the best I can put together out of, you know, what remains from the Pac-12 and what remains from the Big 12, right?
It's such, but like
you gotta make cuts. Like you can't take everybody, and that's from both conferences.
Oh my gosh, and the drop off in the funds, right? Yeah. So you go from, you have your Big 10, your SEC. And then now if Oregon and Washington and Oklahoma State are your, you know, NC State, Miami are your top tier programs, like there is a significant gap. Here's one question.
This is the key part, is like everybody wants to act like, oh no, we're super attractive. You are praying to get an invite, because like the reality is if Oregon and Washington and Oklahoma State are your top draws, you're not getting anywhere close.
So the only thing I can think of, well, it doesn't make sense either. Like, unless, so I guess there's two scenarios here. The first would be if a desperate over-the-top program comes in and tries to bundle as many of these teams as possible, is it worth it for the programs to have more inventory or less inventory but higher quality?
It's better to have a higher quality inventory, right? Like, this is like sort of like if you could put it together, like your one advantage here, if you will, is like you don't have to have Rutgers, right? Like, or Indiana. Like, you don't have to have, you know, your bottom tier teams there, right? Like, you can, the teams that like in a normal world would be in the Mountain West, right?
I guess, but I'm more thinking like it. Is there a world where one of these over the top things just says, you know what, screw it, we're just gonna do like our thing. I mean, is gonna be, we're gonna have as many games as we possibly can.
Look, I mean, like there, I mean, yeah, maybe there's enough. I mean, like, what's gonna be interesting here is like, what does CBS still do, right? Like, now they're not gonna pay you a ton of money comparatively for it, right? But like over time, as the others. You know, as long as you can maintain some access to whatever the super, you know, like what happens after the super leagues are formed or whatever, right? As long as you can still maintain some access, even at like some diminished amount of like money that you're making, like you have the chance to build something, right? Like the Pac-12, like has like what's the remainder? Somebody is going to end up becoming the dominant team within the conference, right? You know, like
looking at you, Utah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, and they have a chance to build something, right? Like, but like, you're going to be at a resource disadvantage. That's absolutely true. But like, you know, like lots of like part of the team, like an immense part of the problem for the Pac-12 was like, look, you have a confluence of factors, right? You like, you have Larry Scott, like getting hired. That was bad. You have the consolidation of, you know, and the importance of like both somewhat, you could say like consolidation within TV, but you have the huge explosion of the value of live TV, right? Like of sports. And then on top of that, you then have just a disastrous series of hires for coaches in the Pac-12, like 2012 forward. If you look across the Pac-12, they just, with the exception of like Mike Leach and Chris Peterson, just a lot of really bad hires, right?
Yeah.
That ended up tanking pretty good programs. I mean, USC is your top story there, but like Jim Mora and Todd Graham and Rich Rod and Gary Anderson and it was just,
Who is Oregon's guy? Before Taggart. Helfrich and Taggart back to back.
Taggart and everybody at Colorado, you know?
Still.
Right. I mean, like, just a, like everyone at UC, I mean, just a series of really, really, really bad football hires. Like, this wasn't inevitable. It just, the Pac-12 just made all the mistakes when it couldn't afford to. But like, look, I think that there's like, if you were going to like, look, maybe you talk yourself into like, hey, the Pac-12 does what the Big 12 just did and it stays together, you know, and it tries to grab the best of whatever it can out of the Mountain West. Right. If that's the case, the Pac-12 still, I would argue, probably cares about academics and research. And so like your play, I mean, these are really unattractive, but like your plays are probably like, and this is going to sound weird because it was like, you get Boise State. I'm like, Boise's tiny. Like, I've been to Boise. I'm about to go back there again, but it's Vegas. Like, you grab UNLV, who's current at Carnegie R1 institution. You grab UNM in Albuquerque. They suck at football, but they're in big markets.
I think, right? I think, like, you have to merge something. And I'm with you. I think if you're going to,
I mean, those aren't good options, but like what everybody says, like Boise State, I'm like, guys,
oh no, 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 no. I'm saying Big 12, right? Like, you have to,
that's the best.
So I guess one question on that would be, is the Big 12 able to make big moves as a conference if the Pac-12 started? Because like the Pac-12's deal comes up soon. When is the Big 12? Right. Like, is there
Big
enough money and wiggle?
1 year later. So like, okay. They're like 2025, I think.
And who are they with? Is it kind of a mixture?
They're
of
with a mix of Fox and ESPN.
Okay. And I think both of them, right, would say, I'm assuming both networks would give them some wiggle room to come up with the best solution with the Pac-12 and the ACC. Is that fair?
Right. Yeah. And it may be that, Fox may be your major buyer there. They may be your headliner. ESPN is still going to want some late night content, right, that the Pac-12 provides, and that the schools from the Pac-12 provide.
But I think both networks would say, do what you have to do, right? We will be forgiving if you're going to add teams and move around so you can get the best possible product. They're not locked into, I guess what I'm saying is the Pac-12 is not locked in to what it is now, and the Big 12 and the ACC will not be locked in to what they have now.
I don't think that they are locked in yet. I don't think that the current Big 12 membership, now they may have, I don't think that they've signed a grant of rights or anything like that for the future yet. Because they don't have a deal yet. You could build something out of take your top five or six Pac-12 schools and take your top five or six, Big 12 schools. But who are you leaving out there? You're probably Washington State, probably Oregon State. You're probably willing to leave out, you probably take TCU small, but they're in Dallas, Fort Worth. You'd probably take them. You'd take Houston.
Yeah.
Right. Even though they just came up. You take Oklahoma State because they have a good size fan base. And then it gets it gets really interesting, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious.
Would you take Texas Tech? They're all right. Sure. They're better than some of your other options. They do decent numbers in Texas. They have a good sized fan base in the Dallas Fort Worth area and other. But would you be crazy enough to take Cincinnati? That'd be great for me. I live in Columbus. I could drive down and watch games. But would you be crazy? That's what you kind of get into, right? It's because some of the teams that the Big 12 has added are actually a little more attractive than Kansas State.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
If you were redoing it all over again, at the same time, if you're the Pac-12, are you looking at it and you're like, I want to travel to Orlando? No.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting USC money to travel across the country.
Yeah. Right? I mean, the teams I think they get left in the cold, I think it's Cal, Washington State, Oregon State. Possibly call. I mean, it sounds weird to say, but possibly Colorado. I think they'll get taken because they're in Denver.
Right.
But that is the only saving grace right now for that program. That program is a disaster right now. And it's just been treading water, and it's not serious. And
it's astounding that Mike Bone is who torpedoed Colorado with his terrible football hires. It's suddenly looked at as this genius, saving USC, it is amazing. He absolutely ruined Colorado.
If you are a fan of one of those schools that we named, you should be super worried. Because
yes, absolutely.
I was getting texts from friends oh, is the Pac-12 going to look at San Diego State? And no, I think the Pac-12 pushes more towards, all right, who's left? Who's good? Who can we piece together a deal for the best, for the most possible money we can get? And it's going to be significantly less than what that is the most important thing. I think if you're going to take something away, if you are Oregon or Washington, you better get on your knees and pray to the Lord that you get into the Big Ten, because if you remain in the Pac-12, it's going to suck.
And that's it is for literally everyone else. It is purely could I potentially get in if they took Notre Dame? Like that, it's that. Like that's all they got left. Because trust me, like if Fox and the Big Ten had wanted to add four Pac-12 teams today, they would have.
That's the one thing that makes me a little like I have to chew through that, because is 40 teams going to be enough? Like for the Supercon, right? You have 20 in the Big Ten. Right. You have about 20. Like there, I think there's room for another batch of teams.
I do too. Like, I don't think college, like, I think that there is enough content, like, cause like, here's the thing about this, like super conference thing is like, some of these teams are going to suck. Right.
Yeah.
Like some of these teams are not only going to be bad, but like teams that you are expecting to be good will just get like the living tar knocked out of them in these conferences. And like some of these other games will become more attractive in the future. Right. Because it's not like it's going away. Right. Like they're going to continue to, like, as long as they can continue to stay in reasonable time slots. And I think they have an opportunity for that with like CBS and NBC. They're still going to continue to have ESPN as a partner and Fox as a partner, because the Pac, the you know, these schools out on the coast provide West Coast time slots for content. So it's not going to, like, it's not the end of the world. Is it not ideal? Absolutely. Like, but like, I think if you're like, if you still have access to an expanded playoff, like, great.
Yeah.
Like,
that's why
you could build something. You could become Gonzaga.
That's why I don't think there's going to be two conferences. I think there's going to be two premier conferences and then a third, you know, right, everybody else that still wants to be competitive and is willing to scrap for half the money. Right. And like,
but I don't think it's necessarily going to be like, I don't think that the money's going to be big enough for them to necessarily want to like, I think that like what will be left will still make some geographic sense. And now for that, like, I think that like, cause like the ACC right now is huge. It's 15 teams plus Notre Dame for five games a year. So you know, the ACC, you could lose five teams to the Big Ten and the SEC and still have a viable conference, right?
So
and then throw UCF in there and you're at an even number.
So maybe, or whatever. Maybe you split the Big Ten in half and like, you know, geographically and
the
then,
Big 12.
I'm sorry, the Big 12. But
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm just thinking of the Big 12, right? So the Big 12 went out, like they got raided. They went out and got, they added schools that I don't know if those schools added more money to the table, but they went out and did it. Why?
I mean, I think that like, look, like the Big 12, I mean, you could argue the Pac-12 should have done this like 20 years ago, which is like take a bet on, I mean, shoot, when the Pac-12 formed Pac-12 networks and like cable carriage was a bigger deal, like they should have been way smarter and they should have like done the Rutgers and Maryland option and they should have brought on like some schools out west that were like decent research institutions, but that were in big markets. Like they should have brought on UNLV. Like you couldn't get the Pac-12 market, like you couldn't get the Pac-12 network in Vegas a lot of the time, right? Like,
yeah.
Like bring on UNLV and get on basic cable in Vegas, you idiots. Like, bring on, you know, UNM, bring on Air Force and get like Colorado Springs is surprisingly quite big, right? Like do it. Like don't be dumb. Like go for the money. But they could have given those schools like a chance to kind of grow into it a little bit, you know, like in a, like, and they didn't. And now like the Big 12, like you could argue like has to do a little bit of growing to try to get some of the schools there. And you like what they did is they tried to pick schools in big markets, you know, like hoping that the market itself will bring some revenue.
So if they're going to keep doing that, I guess it makes sense. I'm just curious if the Pac-12 has to do this, like a similar thing. I think what ends up happening is the Pac-12 and the Big 12 like merge somehow with some of those schools. And then maybe the ACC merges. Well,
here's a crazy scenario. Like here's a real crazy scenario. So let's say Notre Dame sort of like plays coy for a bit you know, the ACC is sitting on what they're doing, right? But Arizona, the Arizona schools plus Colorado and Utah get nervous, right?
Yeah.
They get an invite, but they get an invite from the, like, they know that Oregon and Washington are going to jump on them, you know, the first, like, as literally any of them would, right? Like, there is no one that would not, like, walk over the bodies of their relatives to get to the Big Ten at this point. So, like, you know, like, but let's say they get an invite, like the Arizona schools in Colorado and Utah get an invite to the Big 12, and they bring something to the table. They would bring additional incremental revenue, you know, to the Big 12 TV contract. Okay. Do you think they, like, can you imagine a world? Like, I mean, now there's a funny world, right? Like, cause they got to be looking at it and thinking, like, we don't have a great shot at getting into the Big 10, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not likely. You know, we're clearly not going to end up in the SEC. So, like, if they get offered a reasonable deal that they think will hold, why not take it now? Right? And that would be fascinating, because then, like, would it force the Big 10 to take Oregon and Washington? I don't know. Like, probably. I mean, maybe. I don't know. And look, maybe the pressure then, if Oregon and Washington don't have a TV invite then, is like everybody's in, right? Like, everybody joins and forms some version of the Big 12. I think that the only way you're going to make that work financially, like, to have a reasonable shot at some solid dollars, is like you have to be somewhat parsimonious about distance. Like, you can't be sending your baseball team to Orlando. Or
yeah.
Since, like, you might not be able to send, like, I mean, that kind of thing, right? Like, and the Big 12, like, I mean, Virginia, West Virginia is freaking far away.
Oh, you know? For sure.
Like, but we think about those schools as, like, being out there. Like, I mean, if you were the Pac-12 and wanting to, like, but maybe you decide, like, hey, we're like, we unzipper it, right? And, like, you guys go your way over here and we'll take, like, the you know, the Pac-12 takes, like, the best of the Texas schools or whatnot, like, and then everybody else that remains, like K-State and West Virginia and everybody, that's what the new Big 12 is. I don't know. Like, that's what, like, but you can't take everyone with you, right? Like, you can't have, in this case, like, you have to have the best earners you can to try to give yourself a shot.
Oh, man. We'll have to decide. Well, we have a couple of years to work this through, but, like, it's not going to be the Pac-12. It's going to be something totally different. And right. And it'll be fascinating to see which direction we decide to go, because the better football is going to be the Big Ten. The more interesting football, like almost the hipster football, is going to be whatever the Big 12, Pac-12, whatever that is. That'll be more fun. And more niche, and I think we'll make more money gambling on it. But I mean, like, there's a lot of Ohio State fans.
No, I mean, like, I used to joke, like, I've joked around because, like, you know, people have, like, just to try to give people a sense of, like, the scale when they talk about, like, oh, we would definitely be, the Big Ten would want us. I'm like, you guys have, like, we could start. And I know some people here in Columbus that, like, run some of the Buckeye sites and things like that. Like, we could start an Ohio State podcast tomorrow, and we'd be like the fifth or sixth coolest Buckeye podcast, but we would crush the numbers. Just crush the numbers that all the other Pac-12 podcasts do combined.
It's like, all of our listeners have us on while they're falling asleep at, like, 10 p.m. And it's way more than regular listeners. Yeah.
I appreciate all of our listeners, and I care a lot about the Pac-12. I grew up out West. Like, I really care about it, but, like, there just aren't enough of us. And that is an unfortunate fact. Like, there's a lot of people out West. Not a lot of them care about college football, unfortunately.
Well, we'll keep a lookout for movement. And I'm curious to say, well, here's the last question. We'll wrap up with this. How soon, Rob, do you think we start seeing the dominoes fall?
Oh, man. I mean, like, look, everybody's getting runner. Like, I went back and, like, I swear to God, there were so many, like, after Texas and Oklahoma went, like, everybody running around right now saying, like, the Big Ten's not done. Like, everyone last summer was like, the SEC is not done. Like, Paul Feinbaum says the SEC might not be done adding teams, right? Like,
well, they're okay. not. But, I mean, like, no, but, it's going right, to be a while. Like,
everybody's running like that. Like, the rumor and hype machine is in complete overdrive. Like, just put on your business cap, right? Like, if someone, like, I had someone last year, like, some Texas Tech, like, legitimate journalist writer who had sources in the athletic department, and his crazy sources in the athletic department told him that Texas Tech was coming to the Pac-12. And I said, there's no way that is ever happening. You know, like, at least in the world that we lived in last year.
I was going to say, by now.
By now, but yeah. I mean, you just have to put on your business cap, right? Like, the Big Ten is not going, like, the Big Ten, like, and Fox already kicked the tires on all the Pac-12 schools on their own. There are no more getting at it until whatever happens with Notre Dame happens, right? And so, like, that's – but, like, that is the only – like, there's only two major shifts that are going to change the makeup of the Big Ten or the SEC. And that is Notre Dame making a decision on joining the Big Ten, and ESPN deciding to, like, move along and call it quits on what its deal is with the ACC and, like, paying out the partners so that they can do that. Those will change the makeup, right? And the Pac-12 could potentially have teams poached, what's left, in either of those scenarios, right? Now, if you're a Pac-12 school that really is, like, if you're Oregon and Washington, you are praying that Notre Dame happens before ESPN makes that call on the ACC, right? Like, you don't want, like, some ACC schools suddenly hitting the market as free agents. Ugh. At the same time that you really want in. But, like, the other part is like, the Big Ten's new deal is going to get signed, right?
Yeah.
Like, and unless Notre Dame, like, I mean, so, like, that's the one to watch. Is like, Notre Dame could happen fast, because the Big Ten has been sort of, like, putting off signing this deal. But, like, maybe the Big Ten signs, like, a 5-year deal or something like that and comes back to market. Or just puts an escalator in there to, like, hey, if we bring in Notre Dame, that kind of thing. Because the Irish aren't really bound into what the ACC's contract is. But, like, that Notre Dame is the mover to watch out for. Everything else is smoke right now. Like, the ACC teams are really pretty locked up, and it will be on ESPN to unlock them. Before they could join any other conference. So, like, when people are like, Fox should just, like, in the Big Ten should go get Duke and North Carolina, it's like they have no idea what they're talking about. Like, until ESPN releases them from prison, you know, that's not happening. And so it is, like, just keep an eye on Notre Dame could unlock some more movement.
Gosh, I feel so bad for the ACC because that contract is garbage and it's still, like, 2075.
There's nothing good that comes with any, like, the ACC is, like, at the worst spot because they're basically just, like, I mean, like, if you're just praying, you know, like, you're one of the schools that would maybe get moved to the SEC.
Oh yeah, like, I mean, like, if you're Wake Forest, like, you're starting to think about, like, hey, maybe we could be, like, the North Dakota State of whatever the future is.
Right. I mean, because, like, even, like, and here's a funny one, like, as bad as it is for the Pac-12, like, some of the schools in the Pac-12, like, imagine if you're Clemson. Like, Clemson doesn't have anything like the size of a fan base of, like, an SEC school.
Yeah.
They don't. Like, it's the weirdest, like, I mean, part of it is because they've been really good really recently.
They hired a good coach and they stuck with them, and that's it. That's all they got.
And so, like, they have been slowly building fan base size, but, like, they're not, I mean, like, they'd probably get in, but they're not, like, a slam dunk on the money side of things, you know, like, but they're, like, if you're one of those schools, though, that you think ESPN would move in, like, you're actually probably actively trying to put pressure on ESPN and hoping to get out. And hoping ESPN is willing to just pay out whatever they're going to owe Wake Forest, you know, for the rest of that contract. Hoping they're willing to do that to get you over. Because if you actually had to play out to, like, 2036.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, Clemson, I mean, imagine if you're Clemson or Miami or Florida State and being at like a $70 million a year deficit versus what the SEC and the Big Ten are. In 10 years, they will be a total afterthought in college football.
Yeah, that's why I think, like, I think the ESPN and Fox is going to give these, I say smaller conferences. I mean, like, that's how quickly the everything has shifted. But they're going to let the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and the ACC have some wiggle room to move around and try to figure out what to do. But it's still going to be bad. Like you mentioned, like that whatever that ends up being, it will not be good. It will be better than if nothing happened.
But I mean, this is just maybe me, but like, I think you're better. Like, you are able to put something together better out of like the eastern side of the Big 12 with what is left of the ACC, and then the western side of the Big 12 with what is left of the Pac-12. That's like way more fun. I would much rather, like, let's at least try to get to that. Like, because you could throw Cincinnati and Louisville and West Virginia in a conference together, and that works.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, and like, you know, so the rest of whatever's left of the ACC, that absolutely frickin' works. Like, if you have the Pac-12 schools like trying to figure out like going to Orlando or something, like, that's bananas. Like,
I'm just trying to. I'm reading USC's statement. I feel bad for USC fans because they're like so, or not USC fans, Utah fans, because they're just so pleased to be here when they got to the Pac-12, and like, I know. they've been the best fans for the most part of like, it's like, yeah, you know, like, we might suck, but like, it'd be cool if we were good. And then once they were good, it was like, hey, isn't it great that we're good? Like, it's just it's not no thing. I mean, there's a couple of Utah fans that are feisty, but like, it's not a lot of fingers in your eye. It's more just like, hey, y'all, this is fun.
No, they're great.
Yeah, and so I'm looking at their statement. It's kind of like, yeah, the Pac-12 has been pretty cool. You know, like, it's not, we're extremely disappointed. And it's, I don't know. I thought it was the most Utah, like, yeah, we're, you know, like, the Pac-12 is fine. Like, we're still excited. You know, I'm sure behind the scenes, they're like trying to do whatever they can, but it was very on brand. Well, let's wrap it up there, Rob. Anything else you got cooking? Sharp College Football?
This sounds like the weirdest thing. Like, we will be expanding our coverage in the fall. I'm not going to announce yet what we're expanding on because it might be more or it might be less. I got some irons in the fire. But we will be covering more games and more of football with Beta Rank. Now, we won't necessarily, like, I'm not, like, I will still probably just focus on college football and the stuff that I talk about, but you will be able to find a lot more college games and maybe other games on the site in the fall.
Sharp College Football XFL. Let's go.
Yeah. Canadian CFL coverage starts here.
Right. Well, Sharp College Football for all your football needs. We were going to do the Pac-12 wide receiver and tight end cores. We will do that later. I apologize to all of our listeners for the delightful quarterback conversation we had. It is lost into the ether. Such a bummer because it was so good.
Yeah.
I went all in on Jaden Delora and it was the best. maybe we'll redo that at some point. I would prefer to do that versus like secondary. So maybe we'll just have to, because I think it's really important and it was pretty positive, right? Because we have so many good, an upgrade.
Step forward.
Yeah, we've been so down on the Pac-12, but like, the running back groups are pretty solid, the quarterback groups are solid, and they will be for the next 2 years before everybody leaves for the Big 12. So we'll keep a lookout for that. Stay tuned. We'll continue to be recording, and we will catch you next week.